This is The Road Show, and I'm your host, David Warren. On today's program, we're going to travel halfway around the world in our minds and in our hearts to the country of China, a mysterious land for most of us, and a land where God is moving, just as He is here in the United States. Our guest today is Jonathan Brooks, president of Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society, and he's here to give us the rest of the story about China, a story which we don't always hear or read about in the news. At this time, let's welcome Jonathan Brooks. Good to have you, Jonathan.
Great. Thank you, David. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
You know, when I'm going to interview a new guest, because this is your first time on this particular program, I memorize the guest's name so I don't embarrass myself. And it was very easy in our case with the Jonathan and David combo here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It is.
So, yeah. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Okay, let's start out with a little game here.
Okay.
All right, this program airs at 12 noon Central.
Sure.
How many times have you been to China, by the way?
22, 23 times.
Okay, let's say it's one of your 23 times. It's high noon in China. What would you be doing right now?
Well, when you visit with the Chinese, they always treat you like the honored guest. And whether it's noontime or dinner time, they're always going to treat you with a feast. And it'll be the best that they have. If you're in rural China, it'll be their best. And if it's in a city place, you're going to be in a nice restaurant.
Okay, let's say you're in rural China. What kind of protein will you have?
Probably fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume rice.
Always rice. Always rice. That's the main. Your bowl will be filled with rice first.
Okay. Yeah. So when you go to a quote unquote Chinese restaurant, let's say here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is that anything like what you would have?
No, it's always a disappointment to come home when it comes to food. It's great to see family. It's great to be with friends again, but it's always a disappointment to come back to American Chinese food. Even the restaurants here will tell us that they kind of gear their food towards Americans.
Well, the word China and the whole culture and history of China has been a part of your life since you were born.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So you're really binational in a way.
Well, we'd like to think so. We kind of think it's in our blood since we're the third generation now running the ministry. So we just really feel a connection to China.
The ministry that you're referring to, I said it in the intro, but again, the name of it is Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society. So you come from a family of missionaries, and you just mentioned that you're third generation. And we're going to talk about what is taking place in the current era, the modern era,
sure,
in China, and how you are reaching that land for Jesus Christ. But you have a rich family history, and it starts back in 1909, and this should be interesting trying to get in 100-plus years in this hour, but let's do our best. Tell us how this all got started, and I love the fact it got started with a one-way ticket for your grandparents. I mean, they were committed.
Oh, they certainly were, yes. You know, there was quite a call for China. Hudson Taylor had been traveling the world trying to get missionaries to come to China. He passed away in 1906. Not long after that, there was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, kind of based in Los Angeles at Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. My grandparents were profoundly affected by that, and they felt the call to China. And so they left for China, and they teamed up with another couple who had been called to China once they got there. And the work has continued. Now we're in our 114th year, and ever since my grandparents left for China, we've had a continual presence in Asia, either in China or some other Asian nation.
Tell us about your first trip to China. I assume it was when you were very young.
Yeah, it was 1982. I had gotten a job with the airlines because I thought that I'd never be able to afford a ticket to Asia. And so as soon as I could, I flew to Hong Kong and saw the works that my uncle had been doing in Hong Kong and their churches, their orphanages. And we took a day trip from Macau into China, and it was purely communist China that we saw at that time.
Your grandparents, their last name is Ryton.
Yes.
The Rytons. So yeah. This, again, was back in 1909. One-way ticket. Folks, can you imagine pre-television, really not quite knowing what they were getting themselves into? They were just following the call of God.
That's right. Yeah. And they landed with $40 in their pocket.
Oh, my goodness. With no job.
No job. Just trusting God.
Well, tell us a story or two.
Wow, it was quite a story. They had to find their place. They knew God had called them. And they, when God called back then, people just left. And like, God called me to China. Let's go. And they left. And it's just amazing what people did by faith and trusting God back then. They worked in an orphanage. They found a place in an orphanage where there was a need. And so they moved there and... it was up the Pearl River, is all I know, from Hong Kong. And they eventually, within 5 years, had settled back in Hong Kong and started a work that's continued to this day.
So back in 1909, what percentage, if any, of the nation of China was Christian? Did it exist?
Yeah, Christianity did exist. The first missionaries came about 1820.
Okay.
Were some of the first missionaries into China. And that missionary was one who, Robert Morrison, he was the one who actually created the first Chinese Bible.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite a story. He took his King James Bible and opened it up, and as he learned Chinese, he just translated his King James Bible into Chinese. And that was the main Bible for China for almost 100 years.
Wow. So tell us about the living conditions for your grandparents.
The living conditions were pretty... Nobody wanted to rent to them at first because they were outsiders. They were foreigners. This was the era of the Boxer Rebellion, where outsiders were considered foreign devils. And... in fact, my grandparents were often awakened early in the morning when the street vendors were saying, "Wake up, wake up. It's time to take off the heads of the foreign devils." And rather than run, they realized that that was their challenge, to touch these people for Christ. So really, nobody wanted to rent to them. To rent would mean that you were corroborating mm-hmm. with the evil ones, with the invaders. And so they didn't trust them. And so nobody wanted to rent to them. At one point, Reverend Wrighton was shown a place where he could stay for the night. And he realized when he woke up that he was laying on top of a pigsty, on boards covering a pigsty. So it was pretty tough. And then floods would come. And then they realized that those conditions in rural China like that were just too much. And they had to move into the Hong Kong area.
What did they do for fellowship?
It's real interesting because no matter what your denomination was, missionaries clung together. Very tight fellowship was very common. And in fact, they paid their tithes to each other when they were able to have anything to give. If there was anything not left over, they were always willing to share what they had with other missionaries. So they were a very tight bond amongst all missionaries of all denominations back then.
Okay, so it sounds like that they were embraced by a group of existing missionaries when they arrived.
Definitely.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. It was always special when a new boat would arrive in the harbor because they were hoping that new missionaries would come and help with the work. The work was so vast.
I wonder if when they signed up to go to China, if they were told, just get a one-way ticket, because I'm sure that there would be a temptation to want to come back home pretty quickly.
They went to die.
Oh, really?
They went to give their lives for Christ. It didn't matter. Coming home didn't matter to them. They went to give their lives for Christ.
Where did that go? I don't hear people talking like that anymore, Jonathan.
You don't. Yeah, we have credit cards now.
We have a backup plan as well.
We have a backup plan. You can always get home. And if that doesn't cover it, insurance will. They'll evacuate you.
Hmm.
But they went to give their lives for Christ. And the dedication to the Lord was just unreal. Really helps us search our hearts when we read about their adventures.
I trust that there are special rewards in heaven for people like your grandparents who really sold out for the message of Jesus Christ and to win the world, the whole world.
Well, I think their reward came when somebody would give their life to Christ on the field. That made it all worth it, all the pain, all the suffering that they went through. You know, another thing, you asked about the conditions, and I remember reading one article where they said if we could just afford to buy some protein, they were living off rice, and sometimes when the rice would run out, maybe tea or something like that. But they said we could do so much more if we just had some protein. It's just an insight into the lives that they had to live as early missionaries in Hong Kong.
Jonathan Brooks is with us. He is the current president of the Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society. And we're talking about his grandparents right now, plus your aunt and uncle then took over after they...
Yes, they were the second generation.
Okay, second generation, or uncle and aunt.
Yeah.
And they are, or were, the Hammonds.
That's right.
Okay, so let's hear about the Hammonds, because we're going to hear a clip from your uncle coming up here in just a bit that I think our listeners will find quite interesting.
Sure, yeah. Well, the Hammonds, my uncle Bob Hammond and his wife Helen, they were friends as children on the field. And, of course, my uncle's first language was Chinese. And so they had that bond together. My family came home because of tropical disease. Eventually they had to, or life was going to be over. But when Helen Hammond came to the United States to go to college, my uncle met the boat, and they both went to Pasadena College together. And upon graduation, they got married and went back to Hong Kong to help the Wrightons in the work back there.
Excellent. Hey, before we go to break, you brought a Bible in Chinese.
Yes.
I mean, I'm assuming that's a Bible and that's in Chinese. It looks like Chinese to me.
Sure.
Tell us about the translation of the King James Bible into Chinese. When did that take place?
Well, that was in 1820 with Robert Morrison.
Okay.
Yeah. And he said he knew it was not a good translation. He was a novice with the language, but he was doing his best. And so for the first 100 years of missionary work inside China, people were kind of searching for a real good translation, and that was quite a prayer need, that China would have a good Bible translation.
So how's your Chinese?
Very limited. I have such good interpreters.
Now, do you know a Bible verse in Chinese?
No, but I could say, God bless you, Shan Di Ju Fu Ni. And some people say Shen Ju Fu Ni, because the Chinese had two different words for God. And Shan Di is the highest God. And so there's a Bible translations where in one translation it says Shen is the name for God, and the other one is Shan Di is the name for God. So you'll find both used.
Now, I assume that your grandparents and then your aunt and uncle, they did have to learn Chinese.
Yes, they did. Yeah, in fact, Chinese was the language of the household.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrighton, if I could say, Wrighton, as he went into old age and came back to the States, he reverted to Chinese only. And he was in a South Dakota nursing home, and nobody could talk to him. He wouldn't talk to anybody. They finally had a Chinese worker come in, and he spoke only Chinese to her.
Wow.
Yeah, it went out of the head and into the heart.
Well, we're going to talk about another book besides the Bible coming up, and it's called Bond Servants, The Story of the Voice of China and Asia. And what we're going to focus on from this book is the fact that both your grandparents and then your aunt and uncle were put in a prisoner. They were prisoners of war. They were put in a prison camp.
Yes, that's right.
And so we want to know what that experience was like for your family, and then we want to know all about what's going on today through the ministry of Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society under your leadership, Jonathan Brooks. I'm David Warren, your host, and we'll both be back after this.